Bonus depreciation is back, and the industry is celebrating. APA has an issue with the new crew rest rules, and the United Continental merger is a done deal. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, September 20th, 2010. The U.S. Senate has passed its version of what started as House Resolution 5297, the Small Business Lending Fund Act of 2010. It brings back bonus depreciation on equipment purchases in 2010 that include general aviation aircraft. Aircraft purchased before the end of this year must be placed into service by the end of next year to qualify. Bonus depreciation allows a business to accelerate 50% of the depreciable value of a capital investment in the first year, instead of spreading it out over 5 years, and is a proven tool for increasing aircraft sales. One GA manufacturer reported that bonus depreciation accounted for 55% of all piston airplane sales in 2009. The General Aviation Manufacturers Association and National Business Aviation Association both issued statements praising this passage. GAMA President Pete Bunce thanked key lawmakers and added, quote, "This incentive is a critically needed measure for bringing back jobs and boosting economic recovery in our industry," unquote. Reaction to the FAA's proposed revised crew rest rules has started rolling in from pilot groups. The Allied Pilots Association, which represents 11,500 pilots who fly for American Airlines, has praised the long-overdue attention being given the issue, but says the FAA's proposal actually takes what the union calls a big step backwards in some areas. In particular, the union says the FAA proposes increasing the maximum time pilots may spend at the controls from 8 hours to 10. APA President Captain David Bates comments, quote, "There is no scientific basis or validation for a 25% increase in maximum flight time for pilots. Common sense dictates that increasing flight time limits will increase pilot fatigue, in turn degrading the margin of safety," unquote. Bates says APA will file formal comments on the proposal before the November 13th deadline. Perhaps hinting at a source for the step backwards, he adds, quote, "In the unforgiving world of commercial aviation, we cannot permit bottom-line pressures to take precedence. Safety must remain the highest priority, first, last, and always," unquote. UAL, the parent company of United Airlines, announced on Friday that its stockholders have approved the merger of United with Continental Airlines in an all-stock deal. UAL says 98% of votes were in favor, matching the margin of approval in a previous vote among stockholders of Continental. The companies had already received clearance for the merger from the U.S. Department of Justice and the European Commission. United Chairman and CEO Glenn Tilton commented, quote, "This vote is a significant step toward closing our merger with Continental, creating the world's leading airline and the industry's best network for our customers, a strong company that provides career opportunity for our people and an airline that can deliver return for our shareholders," unquote. The merger is expected to close by October 1st. Last Monday, an ATR-42 turboprop operated by Convianza, the Venezuelan government-operated airline, went down in Bolivar Province. A total of 17 on board eventually died of their injuries. Fox News reports that in a second incident Thursday, a Boeing 737 made an emergency landing at Caracas when an indicator light in the cockpit signaled a technical problem. The airline then grounded its fleet as of midnight Friday and will not resume operations until midnight October 1st, saying it wants time to, quote, "conduct a comprehensive technical audit and evaluate the protocols and procedures in use," unquote. The airline says passengers holding tickets during the period are being rebooked on other airlines at Convianza's expense. Airline officials say they will also be paying close attention to the emotional health of the company's staff, particularly air crews. Up next on ANN, Boeing will make still more 737s. Aides to Pentagon, hey, look at this. And DOD may have overstated the costs for the F-136. You're listening to Aero News.
Freedom through innovation. It's what led us to develop Cirrus Flying 2.0, the framework for a bold new take on private aviation. And as a result, the gap between the aircraft we produce and those of our competitors continues to widen. Cirrus knows where the personal aircraft industry is headed. We're already there.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for September 20th. I'm Paul Plagg. Boeing has now confirmed that the production rate for the next generation 737 will increase to 38 per month in the second quarter of 2013. The company had already announced a hike in production of its best-selling jetliner from 31.5 currently to 35 per month in early 2012. CEO Jim Albaugh explained, quote, "Increasing production is in response to customer demand. Airlines want this innovative airplane sooner to renew their fleets to serve their customers. We made this decision after careful evaluation by Boeing and our supplier partners," unquote. Boeing's current backlog for the next generation 737 exceeds 2,000 orders. Eads reports that FSTA, the future strategic tanker aircraft designed and built for the UK's Royal Air Force, completed a successful first flight on Thursday, taking off from Airbus Military's facility in Getafe, Spain, and returning there after a flight of about 2 hours. The FSTA is the UK's configuration of the Airbus Military A330 multi-role tanker transport. In a not-so-subtle hint to the Pentagon, Eads North America Chairman Ralph Crosby Jr. remarked, quote, "We now have A330 multi-role tankers in flight for two U.S. allies, with proven refueling systems that form the foundation of the KC-45 configuration," unquote. In another not-so-subtle comparison, this one to Boeing's proposal, he added, quote, "In other words, the tanker we are offering to the United States Air Force isn't just a concept on paper. It is real and proving itself every day," unquote. The U.S. Congress's investigative branch, which these days is called the Government Accountability Office, is telling Congress that the costs estimated by the Department of Defense for development and procurement of the F-136 jet engine may be too high. That engine is proposed by GE and Rolls-Royce as an alternate option in the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter. The primary contract went to Pratt & Whitney for an engine it calls the F-135. The Defense Department says it doesn't want this new engine from Rolls and GE, which it says would consume funding needed elsewhere. Congress keeps budgeting funds for it. The Obama administration has threatened a veto of any budget which includes funding for the 136. But all the while, GE and Rolls keep cheerfully announcing milestones and associated economic benefits despite lack of a deal. The GAO says the Pentagon has probably overestimated the time needed to allow the alternate engine contractor to gain production experience and complete developmental qualification of the engine. The report adds that competition may obviate the need for the government to fund component improvement programs. But the GAO also admits costs could be higher than anticipated. It characterizes DOD's $2.9 billion estimate as a rough order of magnitude cost analysis. Still ahead, nobody's smiling over these heritage flights. Schrenker pleads guilty to securities fraud. And here's a way to save the forests by doing nothing. You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/piperaircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, September 20th. I'm Paul Plagg. Reports from the Pentagon indicate that two Russian aircraft made low passes over a U.S. Navy frigate in the Barents Sea earlier this month. Pentagon spokesman Colonel David Lapin says while it does not appear the aircraft had hostile intent, the flybys were vaguely reminiscent of incidents that occurred during the Cold War. Fox News reports that Russian aircraft overflew the frigate on two separate occasions. The first was September 10th, when a maritime patrol aircraft flew within 50 yards of the ship's side at an altitude of about 100 feet. The Pentagon reports a Russian helicopter did the same thing the following day. Colonel Lapin says the Pentagon is in the process of determining whether either side broke military or diplomatic protocol. The pilot who attempted to escape charges of investment fraud by abandoning his airplane in flight to fake his own death has pleaded guilty to 5 of the 11 counts against him in an Indiana court. The Associated Press reports Marcus Schrenker agreed to serve a 10-year prison sentence and repay over $600,000 in restitution. He's already serving a 4-year prison term after his conviction on charges related to placing his airplane on autopilot and bailing out over Birmingham, Alabama with a parachute. The plane later went down when its fuel was exhausted near the Gulf Coast of Florida. Schrenker already owes more than $900,000 in fines and restitution in that case. The AP reports Schrenker will remain in prison while he awaits sentencing on October 7th. It'll be determined at that time whether the 10-year sentence for securities fraud will run concurrently with or consecutively after the 4-year federal sentence. And finally today, is it just me, or is AOPA out to deforest the planet? It seems like the last year and a half, the amount of mail I'm getting from Frederick, Maryland is getting a little silly. Some of it is clearly from AOPA, but some of it has come dressed in anonymous envelopes. One came emblazoned with a red warning that read as if I was about to lose my pilot certificate. I can't remember now whether that one was pitching the prepaid legal services or the one warning me of the pending obsolescence of paper certificates. I got an invitation to join the AOP Wine Club. Some of these mailings read like they come from sleazy political action committees. Oh, wait, sorry, they do. I got one a few days ago warning that the time before the midterm congressional election grows short and that unless I donate generously to the PAC, some of AOPA's friends in Congress could be at risk. Apparently, the assumption is that all AOPA members care about in life is user fees, and as long as my reps vote against that, I should be perfectly okay working to re-elect people who supported federal health care or the GM bailout. I'm already on the fence about whether this organization looks anything like the one I joined years ago. The accidental death and dismemberment insurance is advertised on the website as providing, quote, supplemental protection for all pilots guaranteed. Then a few lines down, I'm excluded because I fly experimental amateur-built rotorcraft. Same thing with the renter's insurance. So, as I'm pondering all this, a pitch to renew my membership arrives in my mailbox on Saturday. My membership doesn't expire till March of next year. There's a cheesy simulated check for $4 signed by the president and CEO, and the offer of a free headset bag, both of which are mine to keep if I'll just give AOPA my credit card number and sign up for automatic renewal. And then I noticed it right on the front page of the letter, highlighted in yellow. It says, I should sign up for auto renewal to, quote, help AOPA spend less money on mailings, unquote. Guys, be careful what you wish for. I'm already thinking about how I might stop all the junk mail, and it's not what you had in mind. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves says the NTSB may be right about the inherent limitations of See and Avoid. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.